Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We have a lot of great information to share with you. I'm going to go over the agenda a little bit here. We're going to do an update on the virus and the reopenings. Then we're going to talk about the stimulus package that's in Congress right now, in the Senate and potentially the House thereafter. Then, of course, we're going to talk about the favorite subject today, which is the markets and the election. Got lots of questions on that. We're going to address that as well. And that will go along with what are we actually doing in this marketplace. I know that's one thing clients are constantly asking for. And then we'll end with some actions that we think you should do as well. So with that, let's start with getting Dryden's talk here about giving us an update on the virus and the state's reopening. Go for it, Dryden.
Well, Leila, thank you. I think we'll run through kind of the virus and all of those issues. It is day 140 of the national emergency. We've seen a lot go on. If you think about this back over the last 140 days, we now have 17 million data points on the coronavirus, 17 million global data points. We know a lot more about it today than we did 140 days ago. We know a lot more about it today than we did at the client luncheon. And by the way, any of you who did not see our client luncheon where we provided a tremendous amount of very good data and information. If you go to our website, you can see a rebroadcast of the client luncheon, and I recommend that you do. Now, let's talk about where we are with the virus, how that affects things. A couple of things that are really important. As I said, we're on day 140. Some people have had some questions. You know, I talked about this being a 60 to 90 day progression, and we're on day 140. The interesting thing is this moves around the country at different rates and different speeds and different times. And this is one of the things that we have to look at. And so some states like New York had all of their instances happen really, really fast. They're on day 130 post 1,000 cases, and they had a very peak early on, whereas California, Florida, and Texas, so I'm talking about the four largest states in the nation, they really didn't start peaking till later. If you look at the data right now, in terms of peak cases, California has kind of leveled off. Florida and Texas, if you look at it, have kind of peaked and they're now coming back off. And this data moves very, very quickly over about a 14 to 21 day period of time. So the reason why I bring this up is the news media and how they report things frequently affects market psychology and economic psychology and all the things that are going on. So it's really important to turn off the noise and focus on data. And that's what we really try to do. If you look at China, they're at day 191. And they've opened up, and the majority of their economies open up. And they, and what happens is when you see economies open up, then they also have some more cases. And people like to get a lot of hyperbole around that. But one of the important things to recognize that the world has now recognized is that something as simple as fairly religious use of masks makes a huge difference. The fact that people are now, because you saw the spikes post reopening in some states, you know, 30, 45 days ago, you're seeing some behavior change, which is very important. And that is people are actually taking social distancing more seriously. People are actually taking the wearing of masks more seriously. And that is a good thing. You know, I talked at the luncheon, there were eight states that weren't reporting recovery, so all the data was skewed. Now it's gone down to five states that aren't reporting recoveries. Our data is still skewed, but if you break it down state by state, I still say the most important state to look at is Texas. It looks like Texas may have peaked and is now turning back the other way, but it's also important to reckon out that their positivity rate's going down. So all of the idea around testing, all the way idea around how we're doing with this, we're learning more every day. And this is very important because we're shifting our response from the virus, from being a moment before we were protecting everyone from everyone to protecting those who are at risk from anyone. So everybody's taking stuff more seriously. You're seeing that in the results of the virus. And then we're also very clearly recognizing who is in the cohort of danger and the people that need to be protected the most. And that is those who find this as a fatality, as the group post, you know, over age 70. Unfortunately, you may remember Herman Cain. He passed away this morning. He was a presidential candidate. He was 74 years old. So what we're seeing is we now know who this affects the most. We also know if you look at Florida, you see a whole lot of cases and the positivity rate has skewed to younger, but the older people have pretty well stayed common. So when you see these news reports about, oh, we have a whole bunch more cases, the vast majority of those cases are in a younger population who will probably not experience as severe a case or as severe mortality. So all of these things translate into the idea of economic activity as we move forward in this. We've always said that any person sick with this illness, and we're at the point now where everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who's gotten it or has had a severe case or had a mild case. Everybody's been affected by this. But the important thing to look at here is that the amount of stimulus that is going on into this package, and I'm going to let Layla come back with what the new thing is, but I do want to remember, up until this day, we kind of stopped the, in this lockdown, we stopped the economy for about 48 days. We've authorized and put in about 80 days worth of GDP into the economy already. And that's why you've seen some of this disconnect between the markets and the economy. But here's the big thing to know, is that the economy and the virus are going to have to learn to coexist. We know now that this is an endemic set of circumstances. It's probably not going to ever go away completely. And we're going to have to learn to adapt. And so there is adaptive behavior that everybody is learning to live with. And this is going to come in a couple of things. The first one, the real important stuff is, do we get a vaccine? That will change things dramatically. The other thing that's important is, will people adopt social distancing? We're already seeing that, and that, hey, you can get back to your life, but wear a mask, doggone it. And then the next thing is trying to think about testing. This is a big thing to watch. Technology is allowing us to move very, very rapidly on testing. Now, right now, there's a huge backlog, but there's this massive disparity between paid-for testing and insurance-derived testing. You can get rapid tests in various locations. If you're going to wait for your insurance to pay for it, you're going to different types of reference labs, and that takes 14 days. So the technology is coming very, very rapidly for the rapid test. And so this is the thing you're going to find out. Look for this in the future. Here's the thing to know. The coronavirus is going to permanently change behavior. And it's going to change how we do things. We've had three big events in our lives in the last 20 years, so once-in-a-lifetime events. 9/11 changed how you thought about personal security. And it changed forever how we get on airplanes. It changed forever how we do things. And it took a while for us to adapt to that. Yet we did. The financial crisis changed how we thought about debt. And we lived through that, 2007, 2009, the banking system. It changed how we thought about the financial side of things. And it changed behavior for a long time. Take a look at home ownership and housing and all those things. And now you have this crisis. Coronavirus has changed how people feel about their health security. And now we're adapting our behavior to do with it. And this adaptive behavior, wearing masks, social distancing, figuring out how to get tests quickly, are the things that are going to allow us to move back to some sense of normalcy. That's what human beings do. Aspiration always defeats fear, and the human race is the most adaptive species on the planet. That's why we're the top of the food chain. So I think you're beginning to see people come to terms with the idea that we're going to adapt our behavior, and as we adapt our behavior, it's going to allow us to get on with our lives. Just like we figured out how to get on airplanes pretty quickly after 9/11, we're going to figure out how to get out into society fairly quickly at this point. So this is forced adaptation for COVID. It affects many things in the economy. So, Layla, the Senate is working on their next stimulus package. I addressed this a little earlier. We've had this massive stimulus now, and now they're talking about even more stimulus coming. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. But before I even tell you more about that, I just want to comment a bit more about what you said about this rapid testing. This is really what's going to allow the industries and businesses to open up sooner, is that they are talking about where you're going to have like a quick testing. If you want to go to Disneyland, you go through the security and then you get a quick test, and right there and then you find out whether you're positive or negative. When those kind of tests come in, that is going to be a game changer. So we're looking to have therapeutics, we're looking to have vaccines, rapid testing. The economy and is going to adjust, and when those things come in, we do think things will change dramatically. But until then, the economy is not doing well. You saw GDP today being down almost 33%. So, and there's always this disconnect, right? Why is, the market's doing so well and the economy is not doing as well? Because there's still a lot of people not working and businesses are closed. And this is where the stimulus package that was passed, the CARES Act, made a huge difference back in March. But it's not enough. Some of these things in the CARES packet, like the unemployment of $600 a week, is ending this week. But the fact of the matter is that $600 a week was like someone working 40 hours a week at $15 an hour. So what we had was 5 out of 6 people getting unemployment were making more money being unemployed than working. So when businesses actually wanted them to come back to work, really, they're afraid of the virus and they really are making more money at home than going to work. And they've had a lot of a hard time going back to work. So in this new package, obviously, we don't want to go to zero from that 600, but it's a big problem between the Democrats and Republicans right now. The Democrats want the $600 to continue. The Republicans want $200 to continue. And then after that, go into a methodology which the unemployed will get 70% of their income, kind of like disability insurance. When you're disabled, they only let you get 60% of your income so that you have an incentive to go back to work. They want to have the same thing here. Our guess is that number, maybe they'll compromise on something a little more than $200. And certainly is going to be less than the 600. And because this is like the most urgent thing that they need to do is the unemployment number, the unemployment benefit. Now, the one thing that both parties agree on is the stimulus checks. As many of you remember, you were getting, if your income was less than $150,000 as a joint couple, you got $1,200 each. And if you had children under the age of 16, you got $500 per child. With the new stimulus proposal, which looks like both parties agreed to, it will be $1,200, but the phased out income for joint will be $198,000. So at $150,000, you'll get $1,200. If your income is at $175,000, you might get like $1,000 instead of $1,200. And at $198,000, you will get nothing, but there is a phase down. So they're allowing, there's basically 26 million people, more million people that will actually be eligible for stimulus than before. They're also going to allow dependents to get, if they're dependent, they're not going to cut it off at age 16 or 17. They're going to, if you file a dependent on your return, you will also get a stimulus check for them. So that is good news. The number for the single taxpayer is $75,000 before, that will go to phase out at $99,000, and for a head of household that will phase out at $112,500. So they are going to have more people get more stimulus checks. And the interesting thing is, I have a client that actually has a car dealership, and we saw these numbers in Ford today. They had good numbers because apparently a lot of people getting the $1,200 check took it right down to the car dealership and got a truck. you know, as I got a car, truck sales are out of this world since gasoline prices are so low. So we do think that that stimulus package does help middle America and lower income America. And it's something that both parties have agreed to. And we know whatever HEALS Act is the name of the Republican bill, HEROES Act is the name of the Democratic bill. I don't know what the name will be at the end, but those are the benefits that are coming. The other thing that they're talking about is liability protection for businesses. The Republicans definitely want that. And then there is also in the Republican bill the ability to deduct travel and meals. When the 2017 tax reform happened, businesses were not able to deduct meals for their employees. And so they're going to try and allow that in here so that will help the industries, the restaurant industry and so forth, which is probably one of the hardest hit industries in this pandemic. One just minor thing I want to mention, you know, we hear a lot about that, and, you know, it is definitely a lot of restaurants are, you know, takeouts and so forth, and they're using the public parking to have outside dinners and lunches and so forth. But that whole industry, it still only represents 8% of GDP when you consider the hospitality industries. But it does get a lot of talk in the news, and it's one that's most suppressed. But there's still a lot of people working and being very effective, which no one talks about. But the stimulus package is, we don't know when exactly it will pass, but it is urgent that they pass it before they go on break, the Senate. So we expect something in the next couple of weeks. And in our next podcast, or maybe sooner, we might talk more about that and how that might pertain and might help some of you out there. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Dryden, because the most asked questions that I'm getting right now from clients, and we do have asked clients in advance of this podcast to send in their questions so we can address them. And the number one question that we received, you probably guessed it already, what's going to happen with the markets with the upcoming elections? So Dryden, would you like to address that, please?
Sure, and that's probably the $20 trillion question in terms of how we look at national debt and GDP and all of those kind of things in a $20 to $21 trillion economy. I think that there's a couple of things that are going to happen. First of all, being a student of politics for a long time, we see a lot of news, a lot of polls, and a lot of people get spun up and worried about it. It's true, but it's also important to recognize is that nothing is really important until after Labor Day. Most people really don't start raking up their mind until after Labor Day. You can go back and look in history of election after election after election after election. And so that's when it gets really serious. Right now, you're looking at window dressing. And you can't put a lot of faith in polls either way until you do begin to get past Labor Day, and that's going to be important. The other thing that's going to be important with regard to the election is the conventions have been moved around, and they've gone virtual and stuff like that. So you're not going to know the platform of either of the parties until the end of the month of August. So what's going to happen is that's going to be the first time you actually get to see, full on what the platform of each of the parties is. So when you talk about what the most asked question clients, what we expect once we get to the market of the election, we believe the market is going to be volatile between now and the election for a variety of reasons. Now, I'm talking about roughly, a 90-day period here. So it'll go fast. It's going to go fast. There's a couple of big moments we have to pay attention to the markets, and then I'll move to the election, and then we'll talk about actions a little bit later. First of all, Layla mentioned July 31st. This cutoff of the punch bowl we talked about, of the extra money, is a big deal. because you're going to be sucking a lot of money out of the economy that people were having if they don't get it renewed and how quickly they get it renewed. So we can look at some data and economic volatility around July 31st. So that's one reason why we've been paying close attention to that. This next thing that's important, the next big day that's important, is August the 7th. And August the 7th is the day that we will find out about the employment numbers for July. Now, remember, we had big increases in employment in May and June as we began to cover. We had 4.5 million people, and that became a big deal. But then we started having the recurring shutdown. So a bunch of people went back to work, and then we had to shut down again. So you don't know exactly how big that effect is and how many people are going on. So to me, the most important day and data between now and Labor Day is August the 7th, okay? Because that's the day that we're going to see just how much the job numbers were in July. And that's going to really bode a lot of things. Remember, and I've told you thousands of times on this over the years, the most important number to me is not necessarily how many people are unemployed, but how many people are employed. Because as an economist, that talks about all the value and stuff. So we had a big drop in employment. It's come back, but we're nowhere near the 155 million that we were before. So there's a lot of gains that have come. So we're going to watch the August the 7th number. Then September 30th, you have the airlines who will probably be laying off many, many people on that day. And then you have November 3rd. So to answer the fundamental question, what can we expect to happen in the market with the upcoming election? The market is going to be very volatile, driven by headline news between now and the election. And that means we've got to be a bit more careful. As I always say, you want to take advantage of volatility and not be its victim. I'll cover that in a few minutes when Layla brings back a couple of things. But here's the deal. We're not going to be able to handicap fully the effect of the election until we see the party platforms. So we'll be having a podcast in early September, and we also have one, I think early September is when it is. We'll have all that information.
September 3rd.
September 3rd, and we'll be able to make sure you mark that on your calendar, September 3rd, because we're going to go through the outcome of the various party platforms and be in a much better position to handicap the outcome of the election. Prior to that, what we're doing in your portfolios is making sure we're prepared for the volatility and for the outcome, whatever it is. I'll come back to that in a few minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things that's very, very interesting that really is not talked about enough is the fact that the personal income saving rate is right now 25%. That is up, it is actually, it's unbelievable. Today they've talked about 1.5 trillion more in personal income. That is unbelievable that in a pandemic like that, we have this kind of have increase in personal income. In addition to the savings rate, the first quarter was at 1.59 trillion. The second quarter has jumped to 4.69 trillion. Why is that important? Because that means there's going to be a lot of pent up demand. So much pent up demand because people have money and they're ready. They know this thing is going to last and they've been saving their money. And certainly because they're not going out, they're not spending. They're not spending on travel and restaurants and all the things they spent on. So they're saving their money. We have the highest savings rate ever. So there will be that pent up demand. The other thing I failed to mention when I was talking about the stimulus package, they are also talking about a new PPP program for businesses, but that kind of a loan, you'll have to have a 50% loss of revenue to actually apply for it or get it. So that may help that airlines or some of these restaurants, it's really designed for the hardest hit businesses to maybe have another bridge until this thing is over. And if that gets passed, then that would be a great help and that might allow us to not have as much volatility coming up. So, but we're gonna be ready for it. And so, Dryden, tell us a bit more about some of the actions that we're taking.
Sure. Well, I mean, some of you look at your accounts frequently, some of you don't. If you remember, as we went into the early part of this year, we said we were becoming more conservative. We were increasing cash and fixed income and leaning into an environment where I wanted to have a lot of dry powder because we thought we'd see some volatility. So if so when you think about our core accounts that most of you have, the 70-30s, the 80-20s, but the core accounts, what you've been seeing is us migrate those accounts from being fairly equity focused and fairly aggressive as we came out of the downturn in March to now we're taking some money off the table. I've talked to many of you about go ahead and take your capital gains now, bank those profits because we're going to head for some volatility. So you're seeing that occur. We still, if you can take the capital gains, you need to do it because what we need to do is increase our dry powder, pull some risk off the table. So you're going to see in your accounts more fixed income, a little bit more cash. So cash and cash like this is kind of exactly what we did heading into the March period of time where we thought we'd have some volatility. So it's kind of like we're pulling the playbook out again. We're bringing the portfolios a bit more conservative. We're taking some risk off the table. We anticipate the volatility between now and November 3rd. And so we're in a position that we can pull some equity off and be a little risk adverse, but have that money available so that when we get these moments of volatility, we can take advantage of them. This is not about panic. This is about being able to pounce and take advantage of it. And if you looked at it, we've been able to navigate the first half of the year very well. We're using a very similar playbook on the second half of the year, and that's how we're approaching this. So, the things that you hold in your portfolio, I just did one more minute on this. The things you hold in your portfolio are individual stocks that are selected to be in the sectors that are resilient to this virus. If you look at the companies that you hold, big tech had a great day today with the earnings outcomes, and that's really been, and those are the things that we're into. We're the things that are enabling people to adapt to the virus and overcome and work through this. So it's individual stock holdings. That's what we're keeping in the portfolios, the things that are virus resilient, if you will. And then the things that might have some little volatility, we're backing those away. We're increasing fixed income. So we're ready for whatever happens. Once we get in to September and October, we'll also begin to focus on a little more tweaking with regard to the election. I hope that answers the question and talks about the key days. So so when we think about this, what are some of the actions you're recommending for clients now, Layla?
So what do we recommend now that you do? You know, this is a very unusual year. As you know, the CARES Act allowed you not to take your required minimum distributions this year, any required minimum distributions except defined benefit. You don't have to take this year. And if you have taken it, as of January 1st, you're now able to go ahead and reverse it. That just changed. So please contact us. You have until August 30th to reverse any required minimum that you've taken. And if you do that, it's the greatest opportunity right now to convert to Roth. So please consider Roth conversion, but you have to be able to pay for it with outside dollars from your trust account or your non-retirement account. So that you can let your money grow tax-free inside the Roth. That's still a good opportunity and still do it, especially since we're anticipating this volatility, we can go ahead and do that in the next few months. So reverse your RMD is another one. And then just be ready, like Jordan says, we are going to be taking a bit more capital gains this year than NOAA because we are, we do think capital gains may go up next year as well. So there's two reasons. You know, we have some great gains and we want to take some of those. So be ready for that. If you need to know more about that, certainly contact our office. And then it is more than ever time to add to your account. If we're going to have the volatility, this is the time. One of the reasons our accounts have done better is that as opposed to everybody else was selling in March, we were actually in there buying some of these great holdings. And we think we're going to have another opportunity in the next few months to do that. But we need more dollars. If you have more dollars sitting there, you know, one of the reasons the market is doing so well is because interest rates are zero, right? And a lot of these clients, with interest rates being zero, they're going, where will I put my money? It's another reason why the market is doing well, because it's always this question, why is the market doing well and the economy isn't? Low interest rate, the stimulus package, great companies are doing very well. If you look at the earnings of the four big ones at the after hours today, they have done tremendous, and it's because they're making money, because those are the businesses that are doing well in today's marketplace. People are still buying from Amazon and so forth. So look at those names and see. So those are the actions that look at the website. For those of you sports fan, I'm glad baseball is back and basketball is starting tonight. I'm excited as can be. And just remember that the virus and economy are learning to coexist. Things are going to get better. You have to have a long-term view. Do not panic. Do not panic. Do not panic. We're certainly not panicking. We're going to take advantage of this volatility. And tell your friends about us.
Layla, thank you very much. And to everybody on the call, thank you again very much. Our next podcast will be September the 3rd. Sometime next week, I'll be posting a video that will have slides and greater detail on some of this. So you can look out for that. We don't know exactly what day that'll be, but sometime next week, you can take a look at this. The podcast will probably be rebroadcast and available early next week. But I think Layla brings up some really important issues that I want to make sure that we close with. The economy and the virus are going to learn to coexist. The markets have gone high because there's a lot of liquidity. Money had really no place else to go. And there's going to be some volatility driven around headlines. But I think that we can look at this, and if our time horizons move out that are 1 or 2 or 3 or 10 years, you can take a look at an economy that is going to work through all of this and continue to do well, regardless of the outcome of the election and regardless of the outcome or how quickly we get some of these things in the virus. The important thing for us to do is to make sure we're mindful about what's going on, mindful about turning down some of the noise of the headlines, and pay attention to fundamental human behavior. What are people going to buy and who are they going to buy it from? Those are the companies we want to own. Human behavior drives consumption, and that's very important. Cash flow trumps volatility. Human behavior drives consumption. No one makes a penny until someone decides to buy. We spend our time focused on that human decision process. We know behavior is changing. We want to take advantage of it. And we want to make sure that we keep everybody safe, everybody aware of how things need to change. We appreciate so much your trust in us. Layla's told me a couple of times, that told a couple of clients that they needed to send in more money because Dryden can't fire bullets he doesn't have. So we should do that because we think there's going to be some very good opportunities over the next 6 to 9 months to take advantage of volatility rather than be its victim. And that's what we practice doing. So thank you very much. We look forward to having you again on September the 3rd. If you have questions, please send them in to us. And we appreciate your trust and your faith. We want to wish everybody a great weekend, a great rest of the summer as we all kind of find our way through this. And if you're some of the people that are more at risk from the virus, please stay safe. And if you love those people, please protect them. Wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sheridan and Layla, for your insightful commentary and insights. Okay, now for some important disclosures. The opinions voiced in this material are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Historical performance is no guarantee of future results. All indices are in managed and may not be invested into directly. The economic forecast set forth may not develop as predicted, and there can be no guarantee that strategies promoted will be successful. All investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Pence Wealth Management does not provide legal and or tax advice or service. Please consult your legal and or tax advisor regarding your specific situation. LPL Financial and Pence Wealth Management are separate entities. Security and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. Thank you and have a nice day.